Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
In terms of what parents can do right now to connect their kids with other adults, there's a special tenderness between kids and senior adults.
Good afternoon. Are you in need of any assistance today, sir?
No.
I could help you cross the street.
No.
I could help you cross your yard.
No.
I could help you cross your...
No.
Ow.
So for parents who are listening and feeling like, I don't know that my kid knows very many adults, and the adults I know are so busy, well, there might be some senior adults at your church or in your neighborhood who they'd love to kind of adopt your kid as a bit of a vicarious grandchild.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Today we're not actually in our APU studios. We're on location in a classroom at APU. Or are we in the library? I can't remember exactly. There's so many different places to go here. Jim Burns is with us. Of course, Doug Fields making an appearance on the program today, along with Dr. Kara Powell. And we're going to talk about something that's a real concern for parents, but there is a solution. The concern is that parents who raise their kids in Christian homes are watching those kids go to college and then turn away from their faith. Kara Powell and her team have done some research on developing a faith that sticks with our kids in a brand new book that's called Sticky Faith. And so that's going to be our conversation for this edition of the program and the next edition of the Homeward program as well. And now, let's get started. Here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today's going to be a great day. Dr. Kara Powell is with us. We're talking about developing faith that sticks with our kids. It may be one of the most important broadcasts we've had. Dr. Kara Powell is the executive director of the Fuller Youth Institute at Fuller Theological Seminary. She's also involved with Youth Specialties, popular conference speaker, author of many great books, including Sticky Faith, Everyday Ideas to Build Lasting Faith in Your Kids. She lives with her husband and her three children in Pasadena. I also consider her a friend. I'm kind of a groupie of Kara Powell, and I think the world of her. Welcome, Kara. It's great to be with you.
Oh, it's so good to be here.
And also, Doug Fields is with us. He's going to be my co-host and kind of color commentator. I'm looking at you.
Wow, that means you do all the heavy lifting, and I just chime in every once in a while.
That's right. But it is such a pleasure to work with Doug. And as many of you know, he's a part of the Homeward team, also is involved in Youth Specialties. When we think of the word youth ministry, Doug Fields is the person who really leads our movement in many ways. I'm looking at Kara and she's kind of shaking her head there. But today we're talking about Sticky Faith. And Kara has a new book that she co-wrote with Dr. Chap Clark, Sticky Faith, Everyday Ideas to Build Lasting Faith in Your Kids. And I can't think of a more important subject today. Kara, between 40 to 50% of kids who graduate from high school, you say, will also graduate from youth group when they get to college. And that's a concern to all of us, especially parents who are, you know, maybe they were raising their kids in the church and all of a sudden their kids, you know, bailed and they were just, they're still in shock. They're brokenhearted. And yet you've done not just this book, but you've done a whole study on this. You know, what's going on in this whole area of kids leaving the church as they get to be 18 and kind of into those 20s?
Well, a lot of students, just to clarify, leave the church even between 9th and 12th grade. But the research that we did is we received a grant from the Lilly Endowment that allowed us to study over 500 youth group graduates during their first 3 years in college. Because as a team at the Fuller Youth Institute and Fuller Seminary, we heard the data that you just said, 40 to 50% drifting from God and the church. And as parents, as leaders, as followers of Christ, we weren't satisfied with that. So we wanted to figure out why that drift was happening and what leaders and parents could do to put kids on a lifetime trajectory of faith and service.
And it is so great. And yet, you know, it's real. Last night I was speaking at a parents group in Orange County near where I live in Southern California. And a mother came and I would describe her as brokenhearted.
Hmm.
She said, you know, I know you're talking, I was talking about marriage actually, but she said, I know you're talking about marriage, but could I ask you a parent question? Sure. She said, my son was the leader in the youth group in junior high, and he went on all the mission trips and he was just always here. And then he started fading a bit, and his senior year, he didn't want to go to church. And we can't get him to go to church in college. And yet I could see that this was a wonderful woman from a wonderful family, and they had kind of done all the right things. And yet to look in her eyes, I just saw a brokenhearted woman. What do you tell somebody when they come up to you like that?
Well, there is some good news, and that is that about 50% of those who drift from God and the church do come back, generally because of crisis or because they get married, they get older, and they have kids, and they want their kids to be around the church. So there is that encouraging news. But one of the things that we've seen in our research is that at the heart of what's happening with students and their drift is that they don't understand the gospel. Just very fundamentally, they don't understand what faith is. The average youth group kid tends to think of faith like a list of do's and don'ts, a list of behaviors, a lot like what Dallas Willard calls the gospel of sin management. So then if faith is just behaviors, if it's just kind of a jacket you wear and it hasn't really penetrated the inside of you, then no wonder they drift from that. I mean, to be honest, I don't want to stick with a faith that's all about behaviors. So part of what we as parents can do is help our kids understand that following Jesus is about Jesus changing you from the inside out.
You know, Doug, I wanted to ask you about that, because being in the church for as many years as you've been and working with kids directly, that's easier said than done sometimes, because kids are kind of into what she said, you know, the Dallas Willard thing, sin management. And yet, as a youth worker, how do you help parents kind of penetrate their kids' faith so that it does become something more meaningful than, you know, just going to church or trying to, you know, manage their various sins?
Well, I would think all of us would agree that youth ministry in the last decade has taken a real shift from us as youth workers talking directly at kids and teaching them about faith and what it means to be a Christ follower to really a shift to helping parents, because we realize that we do everything we can do, but at the end of the day, they're spending a whole lot more time with their family. So, you know, as a youth pastor, it is one of my greatest jobs is to figure out how to help parents. And one of the reasons I'm thrilled about Kara's book is because it really is directed at parents. Now, Jim, Kara's also written another book to youth workers as well that, you know, parents can buy for their youth workers a gift so they're working in connection with them. And what I love in Kara's thesis is that parents really matter in this whole faith development process.
And, you know, we haven't said this yet, but I'm a mom of three kids. Our kids are 10, actually now 11, just had his birthday a few days ago, 11, 8, and 5. And one of the ways that we in our family are trying to help this message about what the gospel is really become clear with our kids is to talk a lot about mistakes. Because the average youth group graduate, when they blow it, they run from God and the church just when they need both the most. Rebecca is a 24-year-old that I've known since she was 12. We were in junior high camp together. I was her counselor. And she contacted me when she was 24, just a few months ago, and said, I want to study at Fuller. Can we meet and talk about it? So we met and talked about it and told her about the great programs at Fuller Seminary. And after a little bit, I said, well, you know, Rebecca, I lost touch with you when you moved from high school to college, but we're studying these 500 folks like you who did that. What was that transition like for you? And all of a sudden, the conversation changed. She had been giving me eye contact, and she all of a sudden looked down at her cup of coffee. She said, oh, Kara, it was really, really hard. And I said, why is that? She said, well, I started dating a non-Christian. She referred to it as missionary dating. And I went further physically than I thought I would ever go. And I was so full of feelings of guilt that I ended up developing an eating disorder and a depression. And she's sitting across the table from me at this coffee house, and I'm feeling terrible. I'm just feeling so bad for her. I'm feeling guilty as her youth leader that I lost touch with her. And as hard as what she had said up to that point was for me to hear, what she said next was even harder. She said, in the midst of my feelings of despair and guilt and remorse, the last place I felt like I could turn to in prayer was God. And the last place I felt like I could turn to was the church for hope and healing. And, you know, I, as her youth leader, I failed her, because she did not understand when she graduated from high school the role of forgiveness. And her parents, to some degree, also failed her. They still don't know what she went through. She still hasn't told them. So a mantra in our family, and I'm trying to share this with every high school and college student that I can, is that Jesus is bigger than any mistake. Jesus is bigger than any mistake. If Jesus can't handle a little alcohol, we need a new Jesus. If Jesus can't handle a little drinking or partying or doubt or whatever it is, we need a new Jesus. And that's one of the core messages of Sticky Faith.
You know, when you say that, one of the things I resonated with, and actually I remember you writing an article on this as well, but a lot of these kids sin and they make big time sins, as we all do.
Yeah.
And then that's really what the direction is that causes them to walk away from the church. They can't understand this amazing grace and the forgiveness of God. They're still into obedience, and you talk about in the book, obedience versus trust.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Jim, one of the interesting things we've seen in our Sticky Faith research is those decisions are made early on, often in the first 2 weeks of college, is when students are making those choices / mistakes. And then because their faith is only a jacket, it's something exterior to them and hasn't penetrated them, then they almost go through an identity shift in their mind. I'm no longer a Christian. I am now a partier. I am now an atheist. I am now a fill in the blank. And they don't feel like they can go to the church. They don't feel like they can go to their parachurch ministry because they'll feel like a hypocrite and others will judge them or judge Christians. So it's really a vicious cycle that starts early on.
Now, you mentioned the word identity, and you talk about identity and Sticky Faith. And I think a lot of parents miss this. You know, kids are in this search for identity in the teen years, et cetera, but they can move identities pretty quickly. I mean, you just said they move identities in 2 weeks.
A few weeks, yeah.
Help us understand how we can help our kids not move identities then.
One of the things that we've seen in our Sticky Faith research is one of the best things parents can do is model and share verbally themselves about the way Jesus has impacted their life. It's not, notice I said modeling, because modeling is very important, but also share verbally. You know, we talked with students who said, my dad would talk to me about how his faith made a difference in how he was at work. My mom would talk to me about how her faith made a difference in her friendship. So when they see in their parents, and when they hear from their parents, an integrated identity in which faith is touching on all aspects of life, then they have a picture for what it might look like for them too.
Fabulous.
Well, let's go back for a second, Carrick, because that's the positive side, what we ought to do as parents. But you had mentioned earlier about sin management.
Yeah.
That a lot of kids get this idea that their faith is about sin management. What have I done as a parent to perpetuate that? So we have that over here at church. If that's all they're getting, they're really not getting the essence of the gospel and what it means to be transformed internally. It's sin management. But what do we as parents do to perpetuate that?
One of the things I love about studying teenagers is it's almost like a mirror for us to understand ourselves as adults. And so two thoughts come to my mind when you ask the question. I think one, and I know I've dealt this myself as somebody who's been a Christian since third grade, I think I sometimes think the gospel's about my behaviors and I'm driven by guilt more than I am grace. So I think it starts with us asking ourselves, what version of the gospel have we embraced and is motivating us in our Christian walk? The second thing is, it's a challenge as a parent to help your kid reach their potential without creating an agenda or a whole set of agendas, a whole set of bars that kids then feel like they have to jump over. So, you know, that's a hard walk to walk as a parent, as you know yourself with three kids. But we've seen that one of the mistakes parents make is they focus so much on the kids' behaviors instead of the kids' heart. And it's all about college applications and clean rooms and homework. And it's not, and they lose sight. We lose sight of kids' character development in the midst of that.
It's very important. We're going to have to take a break. We'll be right back. Kids' character development. We're talking today with Dr. Kara Powell. Doug Fields is with us as well. We're talking about the fact that only half of the kids who grow up in a vibrant church with a healthy youth group experience will actually stick with their faith once they leave for college. And there are things you can do about it. Dr. Powell's book is called Sticky Faith, Everyday Ideas to Build Lasting Faith in Your Kids. I highly recommend it.
Well, this is an issue, Jim, that so many parents contact us at Homeward about. You know, what happened? I didn't anticipate this happening. I think the first step that we want to encourage parents listening to this program to do is to acknowledge that this can happen. It's a phenomenon that's happening in the culture right now, and we've moved away from what we used to call the graduation vacation, where a kid would go off to Christian college and spend the first, you know, semester or so saying, hey, great, I don't have to go to church. Now it's becoming more serious, but the good news is teams like Dr. Kara Powell's groups are doing this research and finding out what sticks with kids in terms of passing our faith on to them and what doesn't. And we can get some practical examples. Jim's book, Faith Conversations for Families, deals with this as well as the 10 building blocks for a solid family. For information on all of those resources, call us. You can talk to anyone in the office about that at 800-397-9725 or visit our online resource center today at homeward.com. And now, with the conclusion of today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast, here once again is Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns, Dr. Kara Powell with us today. We're talking about developing faith that sticks with our kids. She's written a wonderful book. It's called Sticky Faith, Everyday Ideas to Build Lasting Faith with Your Kids. She wrote it with Chap Clark. And I actually endorsed it by saying it's one of the best books ever on this particular subject, and I highly recommend it. Kara, I want to quote something out of your book that a kid wrote in your research. He's talking about now that he's in college, and he said, God is not the friend he was in high school. He is more like the grandparent in the home that I only visit on holidays and special occasions. You know, obviously, that's not what we want to see happen. And in many ways, I think what we're talking about is how do we get our kids not to see God as the grandparent, but an active, vibrant role that they had maybe even in high school. One of the things you were talking about before the break is you were talking about identity. And something that really struck me in your book was you talked about doing rituals that help them with their identity, but also helps build faith so that, you know, it's long lasting. Talk about that.
That's been one of the fun things in our research, is to look at families who are doing incredibly creative things in terms of rituals that build identity. For example, one family, when their son turned 13, they invited 5 men to meet one-on-one with their son. And then at the end of the summer, the son gave each of those men a Bible, and the men in turn shared what they appreciated and had learned about the son. And, you know, one of the men said after that summer experience said, my life would have been so different had I known that there were 5 men like that who were resources for me. And he's probably exactly right. That's one of the themes in our research, is that we want kids to know adults who are on their team.
Yeah. And, well, you talk a lot about that, because you talk about intergenerational worship. And, you know, I know a lot of times in churches, you know, you have the youth group or the children's ministry, you know, they're someplace else in the basement someplace. And then they really don't meet with the older people. And so they don't really feel a part or a connection to the church. What you're saying is not only can we help, you know, kids find, you know, meaningful adults, but basically they need to be a part of the church.
We see in so many churches, and my own church struggles with this, that the church is often a lot like extended family gatherings, where there's the adults table and the kids table, and they're usually in different rooms and with very different experiences. And there certainly is a time and a place for 6 and 16 and 86-year-olds to be together. As one youth leader told me, the average 16-year-old doesn't want to talk about masturbation with grandma in the room.
Right, right.
And grandma doesn't want to be there either. So
right.
That's just fine. We need our youth ministry. But one of my life mantras is that balance is something we swing through on our way to the other extreme. And that's what we've done. We've ended up segregating kids, and it's causing them to shelve their faith. We looked into 13 different youth group participation variables, things that kids did in the context of a typical youth group. Things like small groups, which I'm a big fan of, lead a small group every Sunday morning with preteen girls. Service and justice, which I also support and think it's so important in God's kingdom. But of all the 13 things we looked at, the number one thing that was correlated with mature faith in both high school and college was intergenerational worship and relationships. When I share that with a group of leaders or parents, usually they say, wow, because we spend so much energy getting our kids to small groups or service. And again, we need to keep doing that. But we can't forget the overall church experience and overall church worship and connections.
Yeah, no, that is so key. You know, Doug, you have a story about a man who was much older who was working with your youth group. And I think it's just really great. And actually, there's a story also on your website a little bit like this.
Yeah, a neat story.
Yeah,
we have a great video.
But tell us the story about the gentleman who you had who kind of didn't fit into being a cool and groovy youth worker.
Yeah, he was 74 years old when we found him. His name is Marv. And our kids love Marv. And Marv stood at the door as kids would walk into Sunday school and he'd give them a hug. And he'd just look at him and say, "You know Marv loves you, don't you?" And they did. And he didn't remember their name, but right. he was a big grandpa, teddy right. bear. And he'd right. just hug on them and love them. And he would just kind of, in some ways, usher them in. And so what I learned through years of mistakes was I tended as a young youth worker to recruit other people who were like me,
yeah.
who were my age,
yeah.
and then realized that we really weren't representing the diversity that kids need in their life. And even as Kara talks, I think about my own children, the amount of people that have rubbed shoulders with them at different ages, you know, beyond the parents is such a key to a faith that lasts. You know, Kara, you had said something about practices and what can we do as a parent? I'm just thinking about the parent who's listening, sitting around the dinner table. You know, give me one idea that I can do tonight at the dinner table just to get the ball rolling in helping them see my faith, hear about my faith, talk about my faith. What idea?
In terms of what parents can do right now to connect their kids with other adults, your example of Marv reflects what we saw in the movie Up, that there's a special tenderness between kids and senior adults. So for parents who are listening and feeling like, I don't know that my kid knows very many adults, and the adults I know are so busy, well, there might be some senior adults at your church or in your neighborhood who they'd love to kind of adopt your kid as a bit of a vicarious grandchild. The other thing we saw in our research is how many of the adults that made a difference in kids' lives were their parents' friends. It was that man that my dad met with every Thursday morning for coffee. He's the one who took an extra interest in me. It was that woman that my mom went walking with from our church. She's the one who let me know she was praying with me. So one of the things that we're doing in our family and we're encouraging other families to do is to be a little more intentional with our own adult friendships. Talk to your friends, maybe whether or not they have kids, and say, I would love for your child to know that I'm on their team. And I would love for my child to know that you're on their team. Can we have that kind of community and relationship as families together?
Yeah, it's a great thing, and I appreciate your practicality on it. You know, it's a scary subject, and yet you know, there are answers, and we can do things, and it starts, like you say, Doug, at the dinner table. We've got a lot more questions. We've got to ask you to come back next time so we can continue this conversation.
I would be honored.
Dr. Kara Powell with us today, Doug Fields and myself, having a great conversation. Been looking forward to it for a long time. Her book is called Sticky Faith, Everyday Ideas to Build Lasting Faith in Your Kids. Also, I want to recommend FullerYouthInstitute.org. It's a great website. It tells you a lot more about the Sticky Faith studies and all the other things that are going on. It's a great website. I really encourage you to take a look at that as well. Before we end, I want to say something personal in terms of our own life. You know, a number of years ago, Kathy and I realized that we were the dominant people who were responsible for, you know, helping our kids grow in their faith. We're not the ones who are going to give them faith, but, you know, we sure had a part of it, just like you do as a parent or as a grandparent. And so we actually chose to do something that our particular tradition doesn't have. We chose godparents for each of our kids. And they weren't babies, and there wasn't a ceremony because our kids were a little bit older, but they were our friends, three couples who are phenomenal. And we asked them to pray, and we asked them to spend time with our kids. And they actually, two of the couples actually do Christmas Eve. They all do birthdays with us, and we include them in celebrations and different rites of passages. And so we said, you know, there's Kathy and myself, and then there's the godparents, and pretty remarkable how they do pray and care for our kids. And sometimes our kids, as they've gotten to be teens, will actually talk to the godparents and not to us, which is interesting. And then we have an intern who lived with us, an intern at our church, and she lived with us for a number of months and actually got her Master of Divinity and went on and is doing some great things for the kingdom. And she doesn't live with us anymore, but she is the mentor to two of my girls in the most remarkable way. And she's kind of the cool and hip and relevant one. And then Grandma, you know, Virginia, she says, and I get almost choked up thinking about it, but Grandma says, I don't get out of bed without praying for your girls. And that's remarkable. And yet my girls love Grandma Virginia so much. And yet she's not cool. She's, you know, she's like your Marv, but, you know, she's 92 also. But she prays for my kids. And I know that there are times when others will miss that, but not, you know, Grandma Virginia. And I'm saying to you as a parent, you know, if you're feeling helpless or you're feeling hopeless, then, you know, pull some people around you to help you raise those kids. And guess what? Your kids aren't going to be perfect. And when you share your pain and when you share your faith and when you share your struggles and when you share your joy, guess what? They're listening. They want someone who's authentic, and they'll move toward a faith that lasts, and it's a sticky faith. It's great to have Kara Powell with us today, and a great day. Roger?
Well, you know, Jim, you mentioned that word authenticity, and I know that's something you talk about, authenticity and intentionality, as being real cornerstones for parents with their kids. Kids are looking for that. They're growing up in a media-saturated world that is so artificial, and it's so photoshopped and created to look like it's real and perfect, that the more authentic we can be with our kids and the more intentional we can be about that authenticity, the better things are going to be for them and for us. We encourage you as a parent to check us out online at homeward.com. Sign up for the Homeward Weekly Culture Brief. It's absolutely free. It gives you kind of a hot sheet tip list on what's really happening in youth culture and the things that are sticking with your kids that might be impeding their faith development. You can sign up for our free weekly culture brief today, as a matter of fact. Get that subscription going at homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, Doug Fields, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.